Basic, and you're listening to From and Inspired By, a podcast about movie soundtracks and the people who make them. In this episode, we speak with Professor Pizza, vocalist for thrash metal band Axe Slasher, about the group's inclusion in the heavy metal horror films Deathgasm and Pool Party Massacre. Deathgasm is the amazing 2015 splatstick film from New Zealand, and if you haven't seen it by this point, please pause the podcast and come back in an hour and a half. It's metal as hell, funny, and so very, very bloody. There's also some surprisingly deep lessons to be learned about not judging appearances, as well as interpersonal relationships. Plus, bludgeoning with a dildo. The soundtrack is positively killer, pun intended, and features Axe Slasher in addition to Midnight, Nunslaughter, and Bullet Belt. You can snag it on double vinyl LP from Death Waltz Records. Pool Party Massacre was just released on DVD and Blu-ray, and the low-budget slasher is a hilariously gory romp which sees a bevy of bikini-clad young ladies attacked with an entire garage's worth of power tools and yard equipment. The Drew Marvick-directed flick was put together on a budget of something like $6,000 and makes the most of every penny. We've been sharing the joys of it since we first saw it last month, and if you love Deathgasm, you will be super thrilled with Pool Party Massacre. We talk about both movies with Axe Slasher's Professor Pizza, and it's fun as hell. Taking time out of your day to talk to me. I really appreciate it.
Hey man, thanks for having me.
So yeah, we're going to talk Deathgasm at the top, but we're going to talk some other stuff. Just right off, like, how did Axe Slasher end up being in a movie filmed in New Zealand?
It's one of those miracles of the internet, really. Axe Slasher kind of mostly exists on the internet and then sometimes is summoned to perform live. But it's kind of crazy sometimes how you can create music, forget about it, or not really forget about it, but release it. It goes out there and you kind of think nothing of it. You think it's had its time, and then all of a sudden someone will email you and say, hey, can I use one of your songs for my movie? And at the time I was working at a company that was also involved in movies and stuff. And so I kind of felt like it was a scam at the time because I was so used to getting so many, like, you know, requests to do things and use things. And I was like, well, talk to me. Like, let me see what's up with this. And dude, Jason Lee Howden, who's actually the director, he was the guy contacting me. And he kind of got where I was coming from and he sent me a treatment. And as soon as I read the treatment, it was four scenes. It was the Dungeons and Dragons scene. where they get squirted with piss, and it was the dildo fight. Those scenes in the treatment where I was like, "Yeah, fuck yeah! Like, of course, let's do something. Let's get rad." At the time, I wasn't sure. And like, seeing how cool the movie was, and like after reading the treatment, it was kind of like, you know, I was giving him the metal test, right? Like, is this guy directing a movie actually metal, or is he going to use it as a joke? Like, you never know how it works. Just kind of knowing how people who make movies think. And no, he was totally genuine. It was clear after reading it that he's just a metalhead who got an awesome break by getting funding through a cool program through New Zealand that was like, make your movie. And he got on the internet and was like, who wants to see a metal movie about demons? And I was like, I do.
So every metalhead ever, obviously.
Fuck yeah. And, I haven't been out there, but I hear that the metal scene is very strong there and in Australia. And, you know, I get email all the time from people in Indonesia and stuff like that. So it's, you can't help but think that it's pretty strong over there and we're just not getting the full scope of it. But reading that, we kept talking together and he kept me up with what was going on. And, you know, when it was at South by Southwest, that was cool. And then I finally saw it when it premiered at where the hell was it? The Stanley Film Festival.
One in Colorado. Yeah.
Yeah, I flew out to that and, through a couple interesting phone calls was able to introduce the movie there to the audience, like, of people who were really excited to, like, see a metal movie. And it was cool. Like, it was totally not your typical fest crowd. It was definitely a lot of leather, a lot of, like, people sneaking in beers. It was rad. It was way cool and saw the movie. It was great there and then was also fortunate enough to be invited to the Hollywood premiere as well, sitting, you know, watching Dino Cazares kick my girlfriend's chair for, you know, an hour and a half. You know, all sorts of just weird shit you never think would happen. You're sitting there looking at, you know, Kim Crossman, who's in the movie, and you're like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, oh, shit, we're actually here.
Well, like, what I find really interesting, I think it's a really good, I mean, like, the soundtrack is really amazing and all of that, just in addition to just the Axe Slasher track, but what I find really, like, I think makes Axe Slasher fit really well is the influence the band has from, like, horror movies in general.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that that's why he was into us in the first place, you know, like, I make a great effort to, like, I think the two things that are the most important things in my life are horror and heavy metal. So it's like, if I'm not doing something to serve that in some way, I kind of don't want to do it. So that's kind of how I focus my days, is how can I do that? And it usually ends up in being some sort of Axe Slasher project, if it's a cool t-shirt or a song or a collab or, you know, something like that. But yeah, those are the huge influences on stability in my life. Like, without those things, I'd be lost. I'd be an upset person, you know, it'd be a terrible place for me. But since we have horror and heavy metal, I'm like, okay, the world's awesome. I can get down with this place. I can figure out how I can contribute, you know? It's a weird thing for me, but I love it.
And even, like I'm looking at a picture of Anthology of Terror Volume 1, the VHS cassette version, and it looks so cool.
Yeah, it's just it's a cassette tape that's we styled after the old school clamshell VHSs. Like, I remember being a little kid and standing in the checkout line at the supermarket back when you could rent movies from the supermarket, and there'd be all these like crazy clamshells of super spooky stuff just right around the corner. If you stood a certain way, you could look and you could see all these awesome drawings of monsters and aliens and people getting cut up and all shit that you're like not supposed to see. So I was always fascinated with that section, always tried to rent a movie from there. And I thought that if I was going to release a physical version of this album, it'd be cool to try and recreate that memory of the cool clamshell VHS cases that had, you know, a really awesome front and then kind of like a boring back with just kind of a picture of something that happened in the movie. That's what Dirty Needle Records contacted us and wanted to work with us. And I was like, you want to release a 5-year-old album? That's cool. I'm very picky about packaging. Are you willing to deal with that? And they were like, fuck yeah, let's make it. So I'm actually really surprised at how quickly that's selling out, and I'm really excited about it. Glad people are enjoying it as much as I do. Because you come up with these crazy ideas, and you're like, the conventional thinking out there is that no one knows what a VHS is, or no one knows what a cassette is. So you tell, you know, people who aren't into obsessed with horror or metal or something like that your idea, and they're like, why would you ever release that? What's the target market? And you go, I don't know, but if they're out there fucking... that me, it's for me and other people like me, and I hope that they enjoy it as much as I do.
It's like, there's a very specific subset of nerds who like horror and VHS and metal, and they're my brother, and
hopefully all 5 of them purchase this tape and make it a success.
And I mean that, like, as in they're my brother, as in they get along with me, and like, they're people with whom I feel kinship, and also my brother who has, like, 700 VHS tapes in his barn.
Man, that sounds like awesome. I'd love to go check that out.
I will send you, after we get done with this interview, and I may throw it up in the show notes for this episode, I will send you a picture of my brother standing in front of his wall of VHS tapes. It's fantastic.
What's he doing with them all? Does he actually watch them, or is he just at this point kind of archiving and collecting, or what's he got going?
Because he has a barn, and he's got like one of those, you know, those TVs from like the 90s where they're like 54 inch and they're like the size of like 2 refrigerators side by side.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like one of those where, like, my friends, like, in college had one in their apartment, and they referred, like, they counted it as their third roommate because it took up so much space. So, yeah, no, he's got one of those, and he has, like, he'll hang out there doing, like, work on cars or, like, putting together stuff for his yard and stuff like that. And so he's got, like, just tons of VHS tapes because he's like, well, they're hardy. Like, they can handle living in a barn, you know, with a wood-fired stove nearby. So, yeah. No, it makes anytime I'm at thrift stores, just like texting him pictures. It's like, do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this?
That's cool. You get to collect on his behalf because you can also go experience in that cool spot. I bet, you know, at night watching movies in a creepy barn is probably rad too.
Yeah, he has actually like set up like a projector and like DVD projections on the side of his barn, like watching Return of the Living Dead next to a fire in the middle of nowhere is kind of like, well, like shitty drunk is kind of a great way to spend Saturday night.
Perfect. Yeah, that's perfect. That's awesome. Set up a stage right next to it and axe slashers in.
Oh, he'd love that. So you. You guys have a song in a movie that's just out as well, which I have been trying to get my hands on a copy to watch, but Pool Party Massacre.
Yes, Pool Party Massacre, the next that's just hitting festivals. The director, he's a hard-working dude named Drew Marvick. He went and he lives in Nevada, and he's also just like kind of like me, where he's just a huge fan of horror, and he's like, what can I do to contribute back? And he said, fuck it, I'm going to make a movie. He's been making shorts and a couple of other things, but you can think, like, you know, Nevada's not exactly known for being a Hollywood or a film town or anything like that, but he gathered together a bunch of people, made a really cool slasher movie, lots of cool gore, and when he contacted us again, I'm like, okay, who are you? What do you want? Why? And he was kind enough to share a print of the movie with me, and I love it. I think it's awesome. It's got everything you want. It's kind of got like a trauma feel to it, where you can go, oh man, there's like real punk rock people in this movie, and there's like, you know, I get like, this feels very DIY and very awesome, but also very well put together, and lots of cool gore, and the slasher itself is pretty cool. I wondered about the location, and you know, since I've worked in movies before, I'm like, man, whose house did they fuck up? I wonder how that went.
No, it's
but yeah, it's great. It's essentially a story about a girl named Blair who has a terrible attitude, and so do her friends. Her parents go out of town, and they decide it's time to throw a pool party. And as they're throwing a pool party, one by one, her and her friends are picked off.
What originally, the way I found out about the movie was just seeing, like, an image of that poster, which goes back to, like, what you were talking about, like, seeing all of those VHS covers at, like, the grocery store or the video store when you're growing up. Like, because I saw that, and I'm like, that is Slaughter High, that is Cheerleader Camp, that is, like, I'm like, I need to see that.
Yeah, he did a great job with that, too. It kind of comes back, I think that metal and horror both have this same kind of strategy of, like, here's some art that the artist feels represents the movie. And I hope that this is enough to, like, give you the feeling of what you should be drawn in by. As metal musical art that depicts all sorts of creepy things, and it changes based on, you know, the type of music or the theme or whatever the artist got out of it. I feel like horror movies are kind of the same thing. Like, a big part of the potion or a big mix of the recipe is what kind of art went along with promoting this movie, right? Like, some of my favorite things are hearing about, directors warning audiences and giving them art back before they go in and saying, like, this is real, and knowing full well that it's just all, you know, tomfoolery and flimflam, but like, that flimflam is part of it. It's fun when directors are like, no, I'm aiming to make you sick, or this really will cause trauma to you. You know, that kind of stuff's a lot of fun, and I think that the art involved in promoting horror is part of that. So I really admire him for going and getting an awesome artist to paint up that you know, it's perfect, man. It looks like it should be on a fucking t-shirt that, you know, is worn by a cartoon dog. I don't know. It's just awesome.
Yes. So, what song is in the movie?
Invasion of the Babe Snatchers. It's funny. That's the second song. So, Deathgasm is the first song off of Anthology of Terror. Pool Party Massacre has the second song. So, the 3 through 5 are still available if any directors are listening right now.
yes.
Invasion of the Babe Snatchers, and they were kind of open to where they let me choose where I wanted the song to be, or at least they allowed me to voice where I wanted it to show up, and actually took that advice. There's an awesome part. Basically, the party animal of the group kicks into high gear and he throws a cassette tape in, and lo and behold, it's Invasion of the Babe Snatchers. And that's when the party really starts to get bloody.
I think the history of heavy metal and horror movies is one of those things that, like, it seems so niche, and then you try to, like, start putting together a list of, like, heavy metal horror movies, and you're like, oh, there's a lot.
Well, I mean, who would have thought that a bunch of nerds that, you know, like technology and cameras and stuff like that would also spend a lot of time listening to heavy metal and thinking about killing people in all different ways? I feel like it goes hand in hand. Patrick from Crypticus always said that it went together like peanut butter and jelly. It's like a big part of like the writing of the first album was just spending nights with a bunch of dudes and ladies, if they so chose, smoking pot over a muted horror movie, listening to records. Like, that's where a lot of the inspiration for a lot of my writing comes from, is those interactions with your friends where it's just like the horror movie is necessary, the metal's necessary, and the friends all being here and having a good time is necessary. That's the core ingredients of trying to write an axe slasher song, is recreating that feeling.
I'm still amazed years and years later that there has never been like an Iron Maiden influenced like Eddie animated movie.
Right? Like that, it's so out there for the taking. I wonder if it's something, thinking about Iron Maiden as like a business entity versus a band, like I wonder if it's something that they're holding on to for the right opportunity, or if they're even thinking about it. You know, I mean, if they can afford a jet to fly themselves around, stands to reason that they could afford to put together a few freelance animators to come up with an awesome, you know, short or something. The videos they've been releasing have been pretty interesting, though. Like, the last one where it was Eddie as a video game through the ages.
Oh, God, that's right. That was so... I totally forgot about that. Like, that's like, so badass.
It's one of the closest I think we've got to what you're talking about, too. But it was perfect. And then they launched a web game along with it that was, like, the 8-bit Eddie. So I think that was pretty close. Maybe we'll actually get something. Maybe they're working with Netflix. Who knows? Maybe we'll get, like, a 20 episode saga of Dance with the Dead. I don't know.
A person can dream.
Or just 9 episodes of Hollow Be Thy Name. That's all I want. It could be just a song for each episode.
I think that would, anything I think everybody would be very, very happy about. So what sort of stuff are you working on now?
Right now, I've just set up a new home studio setup that I'm playing with. For technical nerdery, it allows me to capture multiple tracks at once and play with those and all sorts of things. But I've actually been working on a different project called Adam Fucking West, because it's a great way to warm up for Axe Slasher. Because like, I take Axe Slasher very serious, and I don't want to say shit out riffs or anything like that, but Adam Fucking West is just complete mayhem. So it's something that I can warm up the chops on and have a lot of fun with, and then basically it's the warm up for the marathon that is the next Axe Slasher.
Wonderful.
It's the training, I guess, because I do all sorts of stuff in this band. It's a band that I do with Crypticus and Adam West, and it's just kind of like a fast grindcore-y thing. Lots of crazy riffs, spastic stuff. So it allows me to like really work out a lot of that stuff that I don't really allow into Axe Slasher, and that way when I approach Axe Slasher, there's a lot of more of the shit that I do like the chuggy, groovy riffs and, you know, halftime thrashing and all that kind of good stuff. Keep it pure. Keep it thrash.
kick ass. Sir, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk to me. This has been really fun.
Hell yeah, Nick. This has been great, man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks to Professor Pizza for speaking with us. You can find Axe Slasher on Twitter and Facebook at Axe Slasher and at their website, axeslasher.com. Find and purchase Deathgasm online at deathgasmthemovie.com, and Pool Party Massacre can be purchased at poolpartymassacre.com. Our program can be found at fromandinspiredby.com and on Twitter and Facebook at fromandinspiredpod. Also, the kind folks behind Pool Party Massacre have given us a copy of the DVD to give away. Shoot an email to frominspiredpod@gmail.com with your name and address. For more chances to enter, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and share the contest details when they go live. Please hit up the website and click on the Give Us Money button to help pay for web hosting and long-distance fees, and remember to leave us a review on iTunes. We'll be back next week with a new episode of From the Stereo to Your Screen. Until then, thanks for listening.
Right, first things first, what are we called?
Murder boner?
Toothed vagina.
Oh, maggot sperm. Cannibal unicorn.
How about, like, 13 S's, you know, like... Got it. Deathgasm. All spelt in capitals. Lowercase is for pussies.
Cool. What about...
I fucking said... Deathgasm!